Welcome to Botanical Trails Through the Juniper Forest. I'm your host, Brian Heater. Each week, I'll have a different guest join me to explore a pair of interesting gins. We'll chat a little bit about the gin and the distilleries, throw in a bit of trivia, hopefully laugh a bit, and then we'll go off the beaten path. Although I say that this is a podcast about gin, really this is just an excuse for me to spend time with my friends. But that'll just be our secret. Okay, let's start exploring. My guest for episode 21 is Jamie Belt. Jamie, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. So, I actually didn't tell you what we were doing before, but today we are going to try two blue gins. There's no official category as a blue gin, but these two gins just both happen to be blue.
Okay.
Blue's my favorite color, and I thought it would just be fun to try these gins. So, so we will try those two. And the first one is actually from... Well, why don't you try it, and then I'll tell you what the gin is. So give that a little taste.
Okay. Is there a reason it's not purple?
Oh, well, it was blue, but when you add the tonic to make the gin and tonic, it makes it sort of this like purplish pink color. So, and this gin is actually was a gift to me from your mentor, Molly Murray. So she was, I think it was from this spring when she was on a scuba trip with her dad in Florida.
Oh, cool.
She grabbed me this. So this gin is Lamorada. Is that how we decided I would pronounce
it?
It's Lamorada Hibiscus Gin. Okay. So this is from Florida. It gets its blue purplish hue from the butterfly pea flower, which is a lot of the gins tend to get theirs. So this gin actually has a total of 8 botanicals. It's a bit more sort of floral, not as juniper forward. So I know you're not the biggest gin fan, but it doesn't taste like super like ginny. The hibiscus grows in the local mangroves there, and in the hidden coves of Lamorada. So that's, they get like some of the botanicals just right there from the local area. So in 2022, this gin won a bronze medal in the U.S. spirits ratings. So the distillery is relatively new. It opened in December of 2017. Their goal was to capture the essence of the Florida Keys.
Love it.
So, where natural beauty meets the ultimate blend of relaxation and recreation. They make 2 gins, along with a rum and a vodka. They didn't really have a recipe on their website for how to make a gin and tonic, so I just sort of made it the way that I like to make the blue gin. So I made it with the elderflower tonic and then a little bit of fresh lime. So that is this hibiscus gin.
I like to think that Molly personally like harvested one of the things while she was scuba diving.
She went and snagged some of the hibiscus. Maybe we'll have to check with her to see if she
actually
did that. So was it as awful as you thought?
Tastes like gin.
It does not.
It tastes like a variant of gin.
Well, it is a variant. It is gin, but yeah, it's not...
the color makes it more appealing.
It is. And I would say for people who tend to not like gin, this doesn't taste, though, like what you think like gin. It's not that really piney forward like flavor.
That's something I feel like you could mix with like a lemonade or some sort of like cedar gin, and it would blend a little bit better than like if you mix just normal gin, like a more like juniper like ish gin. I feel like you can still feel it, but
this one is definitely this is definitely one that if I have friends who are like, oh, I'm not a huge gin fan, like I would have them like try this one to kind of kick it off. So it would just kind of a new one. I think it's the first gin I've tried from Florida. So it was pretty good. Okay, so we are coming up on the end of season 1.
Yay.
And so today I thought I might try out a new segment as a guinea pig to see if it's something that we could introduce for season 2.
Wonderful.
So, Real quick, do you use or have you read much about like AI, like artificial intelligence, like for work? Do you guys have to deal with that at all?
Yes, it's like literally all anyone can talk about at work. We're supposed to make everything AI, so
you are. So what are you guys using to try and do that?
They're talking about, so, like, we really stay away from wanting to do, like, the AI, like, resume reviews and stuff, or, like, a robot, you know, like, pre-scan stuff. Like, we still want to keep human touch on that side.
Okay.
But as far as, like, being able to do, like, interview, like, the pre-interview, where they can do, like, a self-recorded interview, and AI somehow, you know, reads your face and tells you, like, what that's going to look like, as far as if it was a good interview or not.
What? So,
oh, yeah. Like, have you seen where
like no, I'm not seeing, like, it's saying, like, is the person lying, or, like, what is it doing?
I love that it's lying immediately. No, it's more like they're watching, like, they watch your facial features, see how, like, confident you are, or yes, like, I think there is some, like, sometimes people, you know, get a little inflated with how they're talking about their experience previously in interviews, so, like, it could read your face on that. And some of it's just as simple as they want a pre-recorded interview that the hiring manager will still review, like, everyone will still look at before any decision is made, but it's, like, another step to kind of screen and see how someone basically behaves for behavioral-based questions.
Wow, is the AI, like, are they also, like, providing, like, basically, like, a written transcript of how it went, so manager could review that if they wanted as well?
Basically, like, their answers, it records their answers automatically. I think, so that's probably far-fetched for us in the current, but, I mean, I know that they're trying to do as much automation and stuff as they can within the plants, obviously. Like, that's going to be the biggest piece, is how can we make all the equipment talk to each other?
Yeah.
Have to have, you know, maybe less, like, hands and people doing every single portion of keeping the dough moving, all that good stuff.
Yeah. No, it's pretty interesting stuff. But I read an article this week that they have discovered that, like, AI, like the, like, ChatGPT or those things, hallucinate, is what they call it, 3% to 27% of the time. And the hallucination means they just make stuff up.
Like, you're asking it a question and it's just making up the answer?
And it'll just make it up.
We're just back to people at this point. Yeah.
So, like, I read a thing where this, like, law firm, I think they were in New York, was using it, and they use, like, an AI bot to help create a legal brief.
Yeah.
And in the legal brief, it made up the previous cases that it was, like, saying that it was following. So, I wish I had read this article last week, because we had a little snafu scheduling, and I, when I was creating this segment, so the new segment is true and false.
Oh, boy.
So, what I did is I went to an AI bot, and I said, I need, like, 25 questions about Jamie Bell. True or false? And my thought was, it would just give me 25 different questions that would all be true. But now I'm afraid some of these might not all be true. So we'll have to just go through and see. But I weeded it down.
I'm going to be scared if it's true.
No, they're fine. You'll like this. It'll be great.
I hope it's all LinkedIn related. That's my biggest presence on the internet.
There is some, so we shall see. Okay. Question number one. True or false? Your favorite sport growing up was softball.
True.
True? Because you played all the way through high school, correct?
Yeah, yeah. I played all through high school, yeah.
Nice. Okay. True or false? You graduated from high school at the age of 16.
False.
That is false?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll have to.
You're giving me too much credit by thinking that's true.
Okay. You earned, question number three, you earned your bachelor's degree in 3 years.
It's true.
True? See, that's impressive. So, true or false? You are sometimes known as Auntie James.
True.
Yes. Okay.
Is this actually AI or is it just you?
I'm not at liberty to discuss this. The crazy thing was the AI gave me handwritten questions.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's amazing. So, okay. Auntie James. All right. Okay. Here is sort of a LinkedIn-based one.
Thank you.
Okay. You once stated in an interview that was posted to LinkedIn that Molly Murray was the worst mentor you ever had and you were lucky to survive that summer. True or false?
That's false.
That is false.
That's the story you would probably like to tell just to get to her, but
I don't know. I sat across from you and it looked like you were struggling that summer.
We always struggled when it came time to the red pen.
Maybe we should let people know. We first met because you interned with the Talent Acquisition team.
Yes.
Back in, when was this?
2017. That was the summer, that I started school. So, 2017, Talent Acquisition under Molly, who was running the intern program. Probably the best experience I could have gotten, because that's what it ended up doing. But, she was wonderful. She just had a lot of grammar and spelling advice for me. That's all.
You called her Queen Red Pen. correct?
Yeah, at one point.
Probably. I mean, I do. I stopped giving her things to, like, check.
It's her known reputation.
Yes. Okay. Your current job entails researching new flavors for Pop-Tarts. Is this true or false?
False.
It's false.
I wish that was a bigger part of my role.
Okay. Can you quick give us a high-level summary? You're in a company that got, like, spun off from Kellogg's, and are Pop-Tarts with or without you?
Pop-Tarts are with.
You guys do
Thank goodness.
Pop-Tarts.
It was so kind of a deal-breaker.
You can still get those for me if I
can.
Okay. What's your favorite Pop-Tart?
I'll work it out. Cinnamon. Brown sugar cinnamon.
Oh, okay.
Let me wait. Debate for you. How do you prepare your Pop-Tart?
What do you mean? How do I eat them?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't eaten them in years, but how I
used to. How dare you? That should have been prep.
To have a Pop-Tart?
Yes.
I've not had a Pop-Tart in ages. Actually, I will very rarely occasionally have them because my nieces like them.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, when Ezzy and Gemma are around, I may have a Pop-Tart. Oh, but what I like to do is I toast it.
Okay.
And then what I like to do is eat, like, 3/4 of the crust off of it, so then you just have the one crust at the end to eat, and then I can enjoy, like, all the
good parts.
Yes.
You eat it like a 12-year-old eats it.
Well, I started eating as a 12-year-old, and that's how I developed that habit. It wasn't like the Pop-Tarts got developed in my 40s.
This is not usually the answer, I guess. This is a debate in my whole household. Like, I have one brother-in-law who microwaves them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he thinks the pop and Pop-Tarts is, like, the pop of, like, your microwave, like, opening. Like,
does he take it out of the little tin thing?
Yeah.
Because maybe he's
only sometimes.
He might be doing it wrong.
It's like Pop-Tart roulette. I have another brother-in-law.
Pop-Tart roulette. That's great.
Who will just eat them raw. Like, he'll just snack on them regular or
he sounds
them.
Like an animal.
Wait, but my dad comes out of the woodwork with the most southern thing that I've ever heard, honestly. He toasts it and butters it. Regardless of the flavor, he butters the back of the
Pop-Tart. Regardless of the flavor, he puts butter on it?
Yes.
So if he had a chocolate Pop-Tart,
yeah,
he would put butter on it?
Yep.
Does he butter, like, cupcakes and brownies?
No. I don't know why Pop-Tarts is like...
Is it because it's toasted? So he toasts it and he thinks because it's warm it needs butter?
I think so.
That's it?
I think he just can't resist the urge to, like, slather a little bit,
oh my God.
A little bit of butter
that's
on
amazing.
There.
Have you tried it that way?
It's very Paula Deen-esque. No. I have not tried it myself that way. I just toast them and call it good. But I do, like, the butter thing on a brown sugar cinnamon one, he really might be onto something. I think it's just really unhinged that he'll do it on, like, strawberry or wild berry.
Or just, like,
yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
That is crazy. That's a really funny story. Okay. True or false, you only actually know how to cook one meal for dinner. Is this true or false?
That's false.
False.
You just like one.
It's really good. That's all you ever make.
Yeah.
It's delicious. Do you want to tell everyone what it is?
It's called Marry Me Chicken. And it's basically just like a creamy, I don't know, like a creamy tomato-ish.
Like a cream sauce?
Yeah, like a cream sauce with roasted tomatoes and chicken and pasta.
It's
really
delicious.
Can't go wrong.
No, it's delicious. So, and last time you made it, we had, what were they, roasted Brussels sprouts?
Yeah. The best.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised were you that I liked and ate those?
Like a solid 8.
Oh, I thought for sure you'd say 15.
Is that because that's what's accurate?
Yeah, I think people would think, one, he doesn't know what that is, and then two, there's no way he would like that, so.
I love it. It's my secret recipe. It's been a fan favorite recently.
It is so good. I love that meal, so. Oh. Okay. This one is a two-parter.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll just give you both, and then you can answer them.
Okay.
First part is, you were recently on a billboard in Times Square, and then second, on said billboard, you performed a dance move that the New York Times described as coming from the school of Elaine Benes.
I'm going to say both of those are true. For sure.
Okay.
Although you almost missed me on the Elaine reference. I only
Do you know
that.
Who this is?
Like, barely. Like, I just heard about the Elaine dancing thing 2 weeks ago.
I was kind of like, man, I don't know if she watches Seinfeld. But I'm like, I think she'll get it. Okay, why were you on a billboard in Times Square?
So, you talked about earlier, I'm a part of a company that basically spun off, like, Kellogg Company, split into two separate things. So
and what's your new company called?
Kellanova.
What is it?
Kellanova.
Kellanova?
Yeah, say it with some jazz.
It sounds, yeah, that is jazz. It sounds made up also, but.
Nova is Latin for new. That's where it came from. It was actually suggested by an employee internally, which is kind of cool.
What's the other company called?
it's not as exciting, honestly. WKKC, WK Kellogg Company. WK Kellogg was our founder.
I pray to God they did not pay someone to come up with that name.
I am unsure. But it was a little bit of a letdown because there was a lot of buildup for what the new names were going to be, and then they ended up being very similar to our Kellogg. We thought it was going to be, like, completely brand new from scratch, but that was not the case. But anywho's bees, Kellanova has a whole new brand and look and feel and all of the things because it's all a snacking, and I got asked to do, like, a random photo shoot, which I was told was going to be used in a limited nature, like, mostly internally for things. And then I think they just got desperate, so they started using myself and actually one of my really good friends from another job.
So where did you guys go to film? You didn't do this in New York. It was, like, filmed locally.
Yeah, it was filmed locally. It was filmed in Kalamazoo. It was, like, one day in a studio, and it was with a bunch of, like, honestly close coworkers, so it was really fun. And, yeah, somehow the dance moves made it. I wish I was line dancing. That would be a little more on brand, but...
Nice. Question 9.
Segway.
Your favorite country line dance is the tush push. True or false?
False?
Oh, is it Cotton Eye Joe?
No, false. How dare you?
It ends up there's like 35. I didn't list them all. Yeah. But I just was trying to come up with what I thought was the funniest one. of course. What is it?
It's probably either God Bless Texas or Watermelon Crawl.
Or what?
Watermelon Crawl. So these are just like the names of the songs.
I'm aware.
You don't know the
song? So when we were at, where did we go? What's that place called? Yeehaw?
The Pipeline.
Something? Oh yeah, the Pipeline. Did you do either of those two dances while we were there?
God Bless Texas?
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I must have been getting just us spin another and, yeah. drink.
They all look the same probably to a spectator, to be fair.
I mean, to some extent.
Yeah.
Not everything, but I mean, to some extent. That one dude was super like all over
Puts
the place.
Puts us all to shame.
I wouldn't say that. I think he was like...
I wouldn't say
it
that.
It was just kind of like, hey, did you like rent out a quarter of the dance floor, buddy? You gotta like reel this in a little bit. There's like 40 people out here. That was my thought.
Some people get real into it. It's their moment to shine, you know?
Okay. And I kept it at 10, so this will be the final question.
All right.
You were once mistaken in public... What are you laughing about?
I know the end of this question.
What is
that? I was mistaken to be your child once.
Well, my daughter. Yeah. Child is sort of pushing it. Yes, you were mistaken in public for being my daughter. Is that true or false?
True.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, how hilarious did you find that to be?
I thought it was great. It was so organic, and she felt so bad when she realized she had messed that up. This poor woman.
Well, I was standing there for like 5 minutes.
Can I order at some point?
And she was like, oh, yeah. Yes. So we were out to dinner. Or not out to dinner. We were...
Grabbing dinner. Yeah, to go.
Grabbing dinner to go. We were at the downtown market. And we were like... I can't remember what that place is called. It's a little like Mediterranean jazz. And you ordered, but you and I were talking. Because you were like, I'll order the fries. And I was like, great.
Yes.
And then you wandered off to get a beverage or whatever. And then I was waiting. And the lady just like walked away and started like filling other orders. And like... was gone for, like, literally close to 5 minutes.
It was a while.
And then another guy, like, stepped up, and she's going to take his order. And I was like, wait, can I order? And then she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought your daughter placed your order. And I was like, and then I realized what she was talking about, and I was like, I was like, she's not my daughter. I was like, I would be proud for her to be my daughter. She's,
don't get me wrong.
She's not my daughter.
I am glad you reminded me, because I was just about to say, like, should I be embarrassed that I ordered enough food for just myself that she thought it was for two people? But I did forget that we were splitting fries. Like, that was the whole plan. So that makes me feel a little better.
Actually, of the times this has happened to me, this one, at least to me, it made sense. Because the other two people, I'm nowhere near older enough to be their father. It's
the sophisticated vibe, I'm telling you.
The sophisticated vibe.
You have this air about you that just has, like, fatherly nature. And the glasses.
And the glasses.
Icing on the cake, truly.
That's, okay, that's pretty funny.
I can't believe this has happened to you more than once. That's so...
Oh, yeah. To Dave, to Jerry, and then to you. But you at least made sense.
Dave that I met at the lab?
Yeah. Who's only 9 years old? Yeah, that was insane.
That is?
Yeah, that was crazy. I was not happy about that one. And Jerry, I was slightly stunned as well.
But so. Dave has a very youthful energy.
Okay.
You gotta give him that.
Yeah, we're not, like, 20 years apart. I'm only 9 years older than he is.
But you, again, it's your sophisticated demeanor. Like, you act a lot older than that, probably. I'm not saying you look a lot older, but...
Nice cover, James.
Yep.
Okay. We will do the first round of gin trivia. Kay. And we had decided before the show that you will go first, so yes. I will ask the question.
I'm scared.
Okay. Which style of gin is added to Southern Comfort, Amaretto, Grenadine, and orange juice to create an Alabama Slammer cocktail? Slow gin or New American gin?
New American.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
No, it is slow gin.
What's the difference?
Slow gin is like a sweeter type gin.
Oh, okay.
It's made with slow berries. If you go back to episode, I think, 13, 12, when Jax is on, we actually do slow gin because I'd never tried it before. So,
is it like actually sweeter or it's just sweeter to someone like yourself?
It's, I mean, technically sweeter with the slow berries.
Okay.
But the other thing, is not all slow gins, though, are actually gin.
Oh.
Like, some are more of a, like, a liqueur. Like, some of them actually don't use gin as the base. But I got, what was it actually? I got the Plymouth slow gin. So, they use their Plymouth gin as the base, and they put in the slow berries. So.
Love it.
But, anyhow, I don't think I would have gotten that one, either. I mean.
I think, what's the name of the cocktail? Alabama
I'm sorry Slammer. You haven't had it. It sounds like something you
people. I was just about to say, I feel like this Alabama would be Slammer. My breakthrough gin drink.
Could be.
Alabama Slammer.
Maybe this summer we'll whip one of those up, because I got the slow gin downstairs still.
Oh, love it. All right. I'm into it. Is orange juice in there?
It was, what did they just say? It was Amaretto.
I like Amaretto.
Amaretto, Southern Comfort, Grenadine, and orange juice. I just put a little splash of Southern Comfort in there.
I am a poser, so I might get into it because that's referenced in a lot of country songs.
Southern Comfort. That drink is? Southern Comfort.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick. It's not a trivia question, but you never grew up in the South, though, right?
No, negative.
Okay, but yeah. Your father's family is from Louisiana?
Yeah, so dad's family's from Louisiana, and then mom's is from Virginia, and she was in Louisiana for a while as well. That's where they met. And that's where all my extended family still is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So, awesome. Okay, well, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with Gin 2.
Woo!
Okay, we are back. Our second gin is actually the first distillery I've had that I'm doing another gin of theirs. So in episode 1, I did the nautical version from Sherlock and Sons. And for today's episode, thanks to my sister Lori's friend Sarah, I got a bottle of their Love Edition.
Woo!
So, it is a blue gin. They basically took their Solstice Edition, which is, if you look, it would be their pink label. And go back to episode 1, because I said what was in the different ones. But they added English rose petals and butterfly pea flower, to give it that, which gives it its natural soft blue color. Obviously, it looks a little pink purplish with the tonic added. But again, they're based, this distillery is based in Surrey, England. Their main gins are their nautical, which is the blue, their solstice, which is the pink, and their aromatic, which is the green label. But give the Love Edition a try.
Oh.
What do you think of that? What?
Don't like that.
For real?
Do you?
I'm not going to lie. I love it. Even though it's
that wasn't a plot twist in any way, shape, or form.
Even though it's called the Love Edition, this honestly might be the favorite new gin I have tried. So I
ever?
Not ever, but since... so I took a quick look to see, like, out of all the gins we've done so far through this season, like, how many were new to me that I literally had never tried before? And there's, like, 17 of them.
Right.
And I've tried, I mean, a lot of really good ones. But this one is... really good. And so I'm glad that we got this episode scheduled because I was really nervous I was going to like blow through this in half to like come up with
miss a, your review moment.
Come up with a different thing for us to do. So
it doesn't. It's not that it tastes super ginny to me. It just tastes weird.
Weird?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I don't know. I
is that chemical it's just
like,
to you?
No, not at all.
I feel like. So you said it's like rose petals, right? There's like some.
They took their base aromatic gin, okay. And they just added the butterfly pea flower and the, what did I say, the rose, yeah, English rose petals.
Because I feel like that flavor is very popular right now. Like, I've seen it in, like, coffee and ice cream and, like, rose.
The English rose?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
In general, like that, and I think, again, that's the issue. It's kind of similar to, oh, what's the other, like, lavender is, like, really popular and all of those things, too. Mm. It can become really synthetic or like again like a chemically like flavor really yeah. fast.
Okay. Well, I don't get that, but
you're a sophisticated palate.
It's not that. But anyhow, I really like this gin. I love that little distillery. All they do is gin. I would love to go visit that place someday. So, speaking of travel, you, this summer, got to do a little European swing, and if I'm correct, you hit London, Paris, yep. and Barcelona.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you visit the distillers of Surrey when you were in England?
Oh, yeah. It was a top pick for me. Absolutely not.
It sounds never. Like you're lying.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Especially I can't even handle the
do,
smell.
Since all they do is gin. Okay. Of those three cities, what was your favorite? Mm.
Paris.
Or you can rank them. Paris was number one?
Yeah, Paris, London, Barcelona.
Okay.
Which is a really hot take, because, so I went with a big group. I went through, like, an organized, like, travel group.
You were, like, on a tour, correct?
Yeah, which is, like, the best way to do it. First, it was my first time international, so I'm very glad I did it that way. At the end, we did, like, it was really fun. We did, like, superlatives for everyone on the trip, and then superlatives for, like, the cities themselves of, like, best food, most fun, overall, whatever. Like, by far, Paris came in last for everyone else.
Really?
And Barcelona was first.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It was really strange. I don't know why, like, everyone was on the same path except myself. I don't know. But
I think it's because you're more sophisticated than most of those yahoos on that trip.
Don't let me into this category. I'm not there yet. but no, I thought Paris was really beautiful. I loved the overarching theme of that trip, I think, for me, of, like, just what I learned is that a lot of the stuff that are in movies are real. I just always assumed that was a little bit of movie magic, or that we were, like, dramatizing, like, the cultures or the build, like, the castles and the palaces and stuff, and actually seeing them in person, I was like, oh, no, this was, it's legitimate. We're not just making that up on movie sets. So, Paris, to me, does feel genuinely just very romantic, and all of the people sitting on the street, like, eating outside, and they're all sitting facing out, like, looking at everything.
Yes, I just thought that was culture.
Very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I loved Paris. I've not been to England or Barcelona. I was supposed to go to Barcelona, actually with Jim, but we were supposed to go in June of 2020.
Oh, whoops.
And obviously, COVID put the kibosh on that. And actually, when Jim and I were in Paris, one day we almost hopped on the, like, whatever, bullet or express train to go under the tunnel to go, like, to London for, like, a day. Because neither he or I had ever been there. But we were just, a friend of his sort of talked him out of us doing that. And then we were just, like, kind of too lazy. We, like, just, like, hanging around our
too
little,
much bread.
Well, that, and we were like, well, we won't be back in time for our 4 o'clock, you know, happy hours.
Oh,
where we
of
get
course.
Our Aperol spritz and the potato chips.
Okay, wait, I was going to ask you. You're actually probably the perfect person to ask. That drink was everywhere there.
Oh, yeah. They love it in Europe.
Is it just all the time there, or is that like a, we didn't know if it was like a new trend, because again, it became like a running joke on the trip. Like, literally every single sign outside of every bar was Aperol Spritz.
Yeah, no, I think it's just a super popular drink in Europe, and I think it has been for a while.
Well, and it was funny, and I have a friend who's
so, because you were there, what, this past summer?
Yes.
And Jim and I were there in 19.
That's crazy.
Right, you know, so I mean, it wasn't just like
a fluke, yeah. No, I've had a friend explain to me what this concept is so many times, and I can never remember the name of it. But it was funny because we had just gone to dinner for your birthday, and you ordered one of those. And I asked you, oh, what is that? I've never heard of that. And you had literally just explained to me what an Aperol Spritz was. And then I went on the tail end of that, and I saw it everywhere. And it was the weirdest coincidence to me. But now I know. It was just, that's just.
Yeah, they were super popular. So I've never been to London, but I definitely want to go there. And I would like to get back to Barcelona. But I really enjoyed Paris, and I would totally go back there. And I was kind of like, I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Going there, because I'd heard, like, you know, good and bad.
Yeah.
But my experience was great. Like, I wouldn't hesitate to go back. I thought the people were, like, super nice. I thought the city was great.
Yeah.
Food was really good.
There's so much to see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, yeah, it was a blast. We loved it. So, I wouldn't hesitate to
I think it was the best food. That was the place that I ranked the best food. Again, everyone else said Barcelona, because the tapas are really great, obviously, like, yeah. In Barcelona, yep. Too. But, I'm just a sucker for really good bread. And we did, my friend that I went with, so as a part of the group, I went with one, like, really good college friend of mine. And we did, like, one of the dinner cruises, too. Okay. And that was really good food. And, I mean, again, how can you be, like, being on the river and looking at the Eiffel Tower?
Was this in Paris?
Yeah.
So, you're on the CN or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty.
That'd be cool. In the mornings, would you go get a croissant?
Of course.
Oh, so yes. Good. Would you get the cafe au lait with it?
Okay. Let me tell you my one beef about the Europe trip. And this is absolutely a me/American problem. I can recognize that. It's not a Europe problem. You can't get a coffee beyond, like, 6 ounces anywhere.
Oh, yeah. No, it's...
It was painful. I got 3 coffees a day trying to get my normal intake.
Didn't you notice, even though, like, at dinner, like, it's, like... You're like, oh, there should be more food, but then
the food didn't bother me. I just wanted a big venti cup of coffee somewhere, and I couldn't find it anywhere.
Outside of going to a Starbucks in Europe?
Well, yeah, and I didn't want to do that.
Right, exactly. Yes. But I said, outside of doing that, you're not going to find that.
No.
Because that's just not how Jim... It's so funny you said that. Jim and I were at... I don't know where we were, somewhere in Paris, but we went and got coffees at a place like one afternoon or whatever.
Yeah.
And... I'll have to look. I can't remember if we took a picture. It was a joke. It looked, I'm not kidding, it looked like one of my little sister's princess teacup things. And they gave us whatever it was, the cafe au lait. It wasn't even an espresso. Like, an espresso is going to be like that.
Right. Yes,
I would expect that. This was not. This was like...
It's a latte, like, but it's just
it wasn't a latte, but it was like... But yeah. Jim and I were... dying. I am just like, what are they doing?
It was so...
And I don't know if they saw us and they're just like... It wasn't us. That's just how they served it. But it was unbelievable. So, no, you're right. You're not going to find a big coffee in Europe. No. So.
I think, like, if I was going to go back anywhere, now that I know that, I genuinely might bring, like, instant coffee in a thermos or something so that I can have... Because I absolutely acknowledge a part of it is placebo effect of, like, drinking that much coffee that I somehow feel more energetic. But I also think it's... like, a comfort thing that, like, I'm very used to having my coffee to sip on for at least, like, an hour in the morning, right? Like, an hour or two in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And to have it be literally 3 sips and then gone just felt so painful. So,
yeah, first world problem. Not, but. Yeah, you're not going to find any... The only benefit to me is that since they aren't that large, like, the coffee is, like, basically hot the whole time I'm having it.
Yes, yeah.
Know? So, for me, that's, like, good.
Right side.
As soon as it starts to, like... I am not a big, like, I don't like iced coffee. I'm not sure why, but I just don't like, I'm not.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, tough luck, right? Like, they don't put ice in water, let alone, like, have iced coffee anywhere you go. So.
First of all, good luck trying to find ice.
Like, yeah, they just, that's what I mean.
They, like, don't believe in it.
Yes. So there was no iced coffee. I knew the whole no ice thing, and I just hadn't put 2 and 2 together, like, oh, that's also going to affect the coffee. until I started, I asked for it at the first place, and they looked at me like I had 2 heads. So I learned quickly, but.
So when you were, like, in high school or college, did you study any foreign languages? So, like, when you went to...
No, I went in blind.
Did you study any foreign languages when you were growing up?
Here's the thing. I supposedly studied Spanish for, like, 4 years in high school.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
My teacher was Senora Baker, so it wasn't a great, like, authentic experience, and I didn't learn any of it. Yeah. Wonderful lady, but, I was there, nothing really stuck.
Here's what bothered me. I took 3 years of French.
Oh.
I stopped after my junior year because actually my French teacher was Jim's next door neighbor.
Of course.
I can probably edit this out. She complained about him in class one day because he was just outside shooting basketballs. He was just outside shooting baskets.
At school?
No, at home.
Oh.
Like in his driveway. Not like at 9 o'clock at night. Just like he was out there shooting.
Oh, okay. One day, like. Yes.
And I was like, there's no way I'm taking a class again of yours if you're going to complain about my best friend. And...
You...
So
petty. So petty.
Oh, yeah. Don't... I tend to be pretty nice, but if you really piss me off,
you're
I will,
a loyal friend, Jim, huh?
Oh, yeah, I would... Yeah. So, anyhow. Jim took German, if I'm if I remember correctly. So we go to France. I mean, obviously it's been years, but I at least had some.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's been a while, but we go there. For whatever reason, initially, both he and I start answering in Italian, and then we're like, well, this is wrong. But then he's picking up the French quicker than I am, and it was so frustrating. I have no idea how he pulled that off. It wasn't like he was studying beforehand. Why? I don't know.
Wasn't it just nice to have a friend who could get you through?
No, it was great. It was just slightly... I was like, how is he getting French better than I am when I actually study it? He, you know... Anyhow.
Maybe because you got so salty at your French teacher on Jim's behalf. This was his ultimate revenge. To get better.
That's a very... Maybe it, through osmosis,
he picked
it up. He picked it up, and I was just bitter. And all I... Although I was happy when I could go and order us, like, a croissant and coffee in the morning, I'd go out and do that, so...
That's more than I got to in any way, shape, or form, so... Kudos.
No, it was... No, it was good. We were out to dinner one night. I like this nice restaurant. It was kind of like a family, not a family style, but like a family run restaurant. Like you could tell, like the husband and wife owned it. And
yeah.
So Jim and I are there and the guy comes over and he starts telling us the specials in French. And this guy goes on for like 3 or 4 minutes.
Oh no.
And he gets done.
Just
and then he's
like,
yeah. Oh, and then he's done and he like looks at us and Jim's like, I'm sorry, we have no idea what you said, but Jim goes, it sounded so nice, we didn't want to stop you. And then the guy's like, oh, English? And then he told us everything in English, and it was fine, but it was...
That's so sad.
Yeah, but it was, yeah.
Did you try, when you, in any of your travels, because you've been a lot more places than I have you ever tried, like, a McDonald's or, like, a fast food restaurant, like, just to see? We tried one, like, McDonald's hamburger just to experiment, but I'm curious.
I'm trying to think if I don't know if I've done that. When I was in Tokyo... I went to, like, a Johnny Rockets.
Okay.
And they have, like, they have them in, like, New York and stuff. Oh, okay. So I had seen it before because I lived out in New Jersey for, like, 2 years after college. And so I'd seen, like, a Johnny Rockets. So I, like, went to Johnny Rockets to try it out. Actually, what blew me away in Japan was some of the best restaurants I've ever been to are in Japan. But they would have, like, Mexican restaurants, and French and Italian, but you would go in and everyone is Japanese, like everyone. and you could see sometimes into the kitchen and they're all Japanese. And I'm just like, who's coming in and because the food was great.
Like, right.
It was like authentic. Seemed very authentic. And I'm just like, who is teaching them? Like, how are they picking up and being able to like do this? It was amazing. I'm trying to think. Off the top of my head.
Is Johnny Rockets like a hamburger? No. Like a
It would be sort of like a like if you could sort of like class up a Steak and Shake.
Okay.
Sort of like that.
Okay. Yeah.
And they had one close to the neighborhood that I would stay in when I was in Tokyo. So
love it.
Man, I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've done that, though, recently, because I've really tried to not...
Yes, yeah.
It's a good point to try like that, but I usually try to make a point, like, I can get all this at home, like, I want to just...
Right.
You know, not... Like, I'm like you, like, when I walk by a Starbucks, I'll be like, I really want to go get a venti vanilla latte,
but I refuse.
No, I'm not going to.
On the principle.
I was like, I can get that at home.
Our tour guide told us, like, to go get one, so me and a couple gals on the trip went, and we got one, and we just, like, split it into fours, like, and just tried, again, like, a couple bites just to see. And he was right. It does seem, like, very different. Like, it still feels like a McDonald's hamburger, but there's definitely, like, parts of it that, like, yeah, something tastes different.
I'm glad, you know what? I'm going to try that, though, because what I would like to know is, like, are the French fries the same?
Because,
like, anywhere you go in the U.S., I feel like if you get a McDonald's French fry, it's a McDonald's French fry.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wonder, though, I'm going to have to maybe try that.
Their McCafe was much more advanced as well, which is no surprise.
What do you mean?
Like, they had a much bigger, like, bakery section and stuff. Than
oh,
any,
for
like,
sure.
Yeah. And the coffee drinks and stuff, still not a normal size. But they still had, like, more variety, I would say, to their cafe side.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
That's just, like, a bigger part of their culture, like, over there. So, so would you go back to, like, London and Paris? Would you go back to all three? Would you go back to two? Would you want to go somewhere different?
Yeah, I'm always somewhat, like, I want to go somewhere different. I would go back, obviously, right? Like, they were wonderful. I think Italy would be next. There's just so many other places that I want to see that I think it would be a couple more places before going back anywhere.
Yeah, Italy's great.
Yeah.
So good.
So excited for food and pasta.
Oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
Am I going to be? But I've heard mixed opinions about, like, that the pizza is not what we expect it to be over there. Do you agree with that?
No, I mean, I've had quite a bit of pizza in Italy. It's pizza. I mean, you're not going to get, like, a deep dish pizza or, like, a buddy's pizza.
So that's, I think, the issue is, like, the folks who have told me that, I think, also are hoping it's going to be, like, a Domino's pizza. Like, they want it to be.
No, it's, like, good pizza.
Yeah, but it's more authentic.
Most of it is, just think of, like, it would be closer to probably, like, from what I've had over there. It's closer to, like, a thin style or, like, what do they call it? It's just, like, a normal pizza. Anyway, it's just,
okay.
But it's great. I mean, their pizza's really good. I tried a bunch of different
ones. How disgusted will they be if I ask for ranch, though? Is that an option?
You should probably smuggle that in. Like, I wouldn't ask for that. You might not make it out of that restaurant.
I will. Don't doubt me. I would bring a flask full of ranch.
I would do that. I would not ask for that. There's a good chance they would spit in your pizza.
Fine. This is good, though. That's a mental note for me to just know to prepare.
Yeah, just don't do that. That was just like, don't do that.
I'll pack. Can you imagine checking a bag just for, like, a Hidden Valley bottle to be able to go with you overseas?
You should, just do it. If that's what you want, I would not ask for that in a restaurant.
All right, noted.
Definitely not in Italy. And in some places, they won't even have that.
Yeah, that's so sad. Don't you think?
No.
Okay.
No. God intended that not to be served.
You don't like, now, don't get all sophisticated and, like, on your higher horse. Just, you never like some ranch with your pizza, ever.
No.
You're lying.
I am not at all. I'm not a huge ranch fan to begin with, but that sure as hell is not getting anywhere near a pizza.
Fine.
I don't even like fucking vegetables on my pizza. I'm sure as hell not putting ranch on it.
What do you put on it?
Like...
Are you just like a meat lover's guy?
Sausage or pepperoni. Sometimes just cheese. Or a margarita.
Okay, so I don't want to hear anything about people's pizza habits when you're eating cheese pizza at the age of 45. Like, what are we doing?
Sometimes you just want to kind of see, like, is just the base of the pizza any good? I do. Well, I like to check things out, James.
How often are you trying a different pizza shop? Because I know you, and I know you're not. I know you order from the same place every time.
No, that's not true. I get different pizzas. I love pizza, so you always want to try to find out, like, what's good, right? That's true.
I doubt this.
That is not true. Okay, within, like, easy driving distance.
Yes.
10 minutes of my house, I will get pizza from, there's a Buddy's.
Okay.
Takeout, which is great, now near me. So that's like Detroit-style pizza.
Okay.
There's Salvatore's, which is just like a normal pizza. There's Gino's down the street, which is, they'll do like a special on Sundays. It's just like a little pizza joint.
Yeah.
Primarily like takeout, but they're just right down the street. Like, they're super good. And I need to try it again. Actually, they're not within driving distance of me, but Quarantino's, which also does Detroit style, they're over in Easttown.
All right.
I want to try them again.
So you got some variety.
Big O's downtown.
Yeah.
It's a different style pizza. It's really good.
Have you ever been to the bar across from them?
Oh, yeah.
The little nook?
Sidecar?
So cool.
It's great. Only like 20 people can get in there.
Yeah.
One time, I'm not joking, it was so dark in there.
Yeah.
Literally so dark. The only reason I knew I found the right table was I recognized Steve's voice. And I'm not joking. Now, eventually, like, your eyes, like, adjust. But, like, when I first got there, he's like, I'm in the table back.
You just felt it.
And I walked in, and I am just like, hey. He's like, hey, buddy. And I was like, oh, my God, this is the right table. I couldn't see anything.
That's so funny. So no, dark. It's such a cool little hidden gem, I feel like.
It's great.
I had no idea that existed, and I forget. I think we were just looking for somewhere, like, different. Like, we didn't want to go to, like, the same old, and so I looked up one, and we just said, let's try this. And then we were wildly confused when we, like, parked and were headed into the
pizza. And
you're
like, where is it?
Yeah. But no, it's a really cool place.
No, it's a great little joint.
Yeah.
So, nope. I like that place. I have not been in a bit, but I like that place. And I'm not sure, but I think those same folks, have you been to Buffalo Trader?
Mm-mm.
Over on... Wealthy, I think it's the same owners, but Buffalo Traders is a little bit bigger. So
yeah, I drink Cosmos there. Like, I'm in Six in the City. Makes me feel real.
Where at?
Grown up.
Sidecar.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I've tried some different stuff there. Yeah, it's good. I like that joint. It's good. That's a fun little joint. So awesome. Okay. Round 2 of trivia.
Okay.
So you get to ask me.
You have to get it wrong.
I'll do my best.
Okay. How do, oh, I see. Okay. Which of these is the name of a cocktail also containing orange bitters? Gin Smash, Gin Bang, or Gin Wallop?
Orange bitters, and it's Gin Bang, Gin Wallop, or Gin Whiz. What was the other one?
Gin Smash, Gin Bang, Smash. Or Gin Wallop. What's your percentage rate of getting these right?
It was really good, and then it went really bad, and then it's been like 50-50 ever since.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry, could you tell those again? It's mm-hmm. not, I don't think it's Gin Smash. What are the other two?
Gin Smash, Gin Bang, or Gin Wallop.
I'm going to say Gin Wallop.
It's Gin Smash.
You're kidding me. Mm. I would not have guessed that.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Obviously. I'm shocked because you make all sorts of little gin cocktails too. Like, I feel like you would know all of the...
No, I don't. See, I think that's a miss. I make a bunch of gin and tonics. It's rare that I make like a different gin cocktail, a different gin
you're
cocktail.
You're always doing some sort of different mixture, hoping that it's going to get through to me and make me a gin lover. So are you telling me you just keep giving me gin tonics, but telling me there's something different in hopes that you'll trick me into liking them?
No, what I've told you on two different occasions, we just haven't done it, is that I think you might like a Tom Collins or a Bramble. We just haven't made those yet.
What's in the Tom Collins? It's lemonade, no?
It's lemon. It's a lemon.
Okay.
Base. Yep. It's like club soda, lemon, gin. I feel like I'm missing a thing, but I think it might just be that.
I think you should... Here's what you should do.
And then Bramble is pretty...
You made me one of those.
Simple syrup. A Bramble?
I think so. Well, oh. When we were drinking on the porch last time.
Oh, did I make you the Bramble? Yeah, because I thought you'd like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was another fail, so...
I think what I would like... Let me give you my recipe that I think I would like.
Oh, okay.
If you had fresh berries
and like mint, what kind of berries?
Raspberries and blueberries.
Okay.
And mint and okay. simple syrup and gin. Just make me like a mojito without the rum, put gin in it.
Would you want that then with like a tonic or a club soda or... Because that might be good with, depending on the gin. I'm guessing you want like a... You don't want a London Dry. You don't want a really juniper forward no. gin.
So, Beefeaters.
No, that's totally London Dry. Yeah.
Just
I wonder if that stuff made with like a gin and an elderflower tonic. So something similar to
yes.
this, a different gin maybe.
But I think I could survive it.
Yeah, you'd probably like it. Okay, it's time for everyone's favorite segment, or at least mine, Off the Beaten Path.
Woo!
So, okay. So I was trying to think, not that I do it every time, but if I can, mm-hmm. I'd like to, you know, try to put some stuff together. So, what I came up with was, since adding the tonic made these gin and tonics look pink.
Okay.
And since both you and I, in the past few months, have been on trips to Europe.
Yeah.
I went into the, deep into the archives.
Okay.
Let's say. And I came up with... Okay, real quick. Have you ever watched any of the Pink Panther movies?
I've seen like the newer ones. Because there's like an original, right? Like a really old
one. Well,
original.
Like Peter Sellers used to do like a series yeah. of them. Negative. Or did you watch like the cartoon with the actual like...
Pink no. I watched
you
the
watched,
new
like,
ones.
Pink... Oh,
Steve
like
Martin
Steve Martin?
Did them?
Yeah, Steve Martin.
Yeah,
okay.
I watched those.
Okay.
I know who it is.
Okay. Well, this is not exactly who this is. But,
okay.
but it's along these lines. So, I went back and I chose an article from the New Yorker that I read back in 2010.
Okay.
It is in the April 5th edition of 2010. It is called The Pink Panthers. And what it is about a gang of jewel thieves who are running amok in Europe oh. and in Asia. And it is, there's probably like two or three times a year. I mean, there's more, but like two or three times a year, there's like an article that'll come out in the New Yorker where I am just like, yes, this is why I read this magazine all throughout the year, because this story is amazing.
It's a real story. Like,
no,
like
is,
it's like
no,
a reporting.
This is legit,
okay, okay.
Yeah, this is a legit real deal. And this is one of those stories. And it's stuck with me for, you know, it'll be going on 14 years.
Love.
Like in April. So this thing. So this article is about a gang of jewel thieves. They earned. So they would they would sometimes take a car and like smash into the front of a jewelry store.
Oh.
Or they would dress in disguises and then like kind of hold them up and then like smash stuff with
not like
hammers.
A Ocean's 12 like hidden heist, very aggressive.
No, the complete opposite. Okay. So and they earned the name of the Pink Panthers from it starts off talking about this heist they pulled in London, and it's from the Daily Mail, and the reason that it was is so they were trying to like chase down leads because like one of the guys actually got caught on the way out, and then they were able to kind of like track down some of them. And so one of the things that got stolen, the cops found this blue diamond ring, and it was in a jar of face cream. Like, the cream was still in it, and they, like, reached in and, like, found this ring. And that ended up being similar to a dodge that we used in one of the original Pink Panther movies with Peter Sellers.
Oh.
So the Daily Mail called these jewelry thieves the Pink Panthers. That's how they got this name.
Amazing.
Their crime spree that they were on, that this thing reported about, they were robbing places all in Europe, Tokyo. They got their hands on about $250 million, with a B, billion dollars of jewelry.
Oh my God.
And the article takes you all over. And I've reread it, actually, just recently, because I'm like, I thought this was great, but like, does it still hold up?
Right.
The article was still, like, it is so good. I'm pretty sure you can, like, just download it and read it for free. But the story's just, like, amazing. It's,
that's insane.
They think the group is sort of a hodgepodge of some guys out of, like, Montenegro, and then these guys in Serbia.
How many?
And like, do they don't know. And it's kind of, like, loosely affiliated and stuff like that. But here's the thing. That article came out in 2010. So I went and did a quick Google search, like, Pink Panthers.
Yeah.
Just this summer, there's more articles about these guys still pulling heists. Like, around the world. Yeah, so anyhow, if you want to
But it's not super organized, but just enough
No, they're, like they're organized, but they can't, like, chase it down to find out, like, who's, like, in charge.
That's crazy.
But the article was, it's so just well written, and the story is just, like, you wouldn't believe, like, the stuff these guys try and pull off. And this reporter, like, I don't know how he got to talk to, like, some of these people. Like,
yeah.
Kudos to him for, like,
Being willing to step into some of these.
But article is great. Highly recommend it. Go to newyorker.com.
Love it.
The Pink Panthers.
Is that what you read when you have your coffee? The New Yorker?
Oh, some days, yeah.
Yeah.
In the mornings after I read the papers, yeah.
Oh, it is an actual paper. Okay.
No, it's a magazine. I read the papers, and then I'll read the New Yorker. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of how I start my day off.
I read the papers. Love that.
I do. Well, because my buddy gave me, like, a free thing to the New York Times. So I get the Times and the GR Press.
You cracked me up. That's really cool, though, actually. I love that. You know what they should do? Make a Netflix documentary out of it.
No, they totally should. And there might be one I just didn't, like, dig that out. But it's totally worth a read.
The fact that it's still going is crazy.
Yeah. And so, it's just... Yeah. It's one of those stories you read and you're like, I can't believe this is, like, going on.
Huh.
And what these guys are pulling.
Yeah.
But they're doing it. So, and they're still doing it. So.
Amazing.
So that is my off the beaten path topic for today's episode.
Love it.
What do you have for us?
Mine's not as educated.
Mine's not educated. Mine's a magazine article.
Okay. So my topic is a podcast.
Oh, is this the one that you haven't sent me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Tell everybody about it.
I've been thinking about how to explain this literally for a week straight. So, it's a podcast called Frenemies.
Frenemies?
Yes.
Okay.
And one of the people, her name is Trisha Paytas, and the other one is Ethan Klein.
And would we know these people from anything?
Some people would know them. Like, they had their own separate presence, but I feel like they're not, like, A-list online celebrities. They're probably, like, a B or C-list, like, influencer type of deal.
Do you know how we would know these people?
Like, what they're famous for?
They were, like, influencers?
Yes, yeah.
So they're not real. They don't have any actual talent. They don't have real talent.
Ethan, I would argue, has real talent. He owns, like, a clothing, like, company. Him and his wife own a clothing. Yes.
Oh, okay.
And he kind of became a personality. You know who he kind of reminds me of, actually, from your era? He's, like, a shock jockey.
Howard Stern?
Yes, Howard Stern. Not exactly. Like, you're going to listen to him and think I'm crazy for that. But Ethan Klein had his own podcast, H3, which was basically just like a long form reaction podcast. Like literally just talked about what's going on in pop culture. He's funny. He has good timing. He would do some segments like here and there with his team. But really and truly, like, it's just a podcast where Ethan just sits there and reacts and talks about things with his wife. They talk about their company, etc.
Okay.
So that's Ethan. And then on the other side of the house is Trisha. And Trisha is, like, probably one of the most original, like, so YouTubers, like, is now, like, a very popular thing, yeah. right? Like, to have yep. a whole career out of that.
Yep.
At the time when Trisha started, I would say it probably wasn't. Like, it was weird, and you were kind of the quirky one for doing that.
So she was,
like,
a bit of a trailblazer.
Yeah, that's an amazing term to associate with her. Trisha was a trailblazer.
But, what I mean, if she was, like, kind of one of the first that really was kind of moving forward with it and yes. making something of it.
Right? Yes.
Okay.
She was. But, so, Trisha's content is all drama. Or, previously, I would say, is all drama. She's in a new era now. We'll talk about that in a moment. But, it was all drama. There was a lot of, like, her, like, big shtick was, like, she would just record herself crying on her, like, kitchen floor, like, apologizing for saying something horrendous or doing something very controversial. It was a lot. She was a part of, honestly, so I came to know Trisha a little bit through another YouTube group that I watched. Like, I actually watched and thought they were funny. And okay. then this woman just pops in and she's just, I want to think of, like, Trisha as, like, if you took the most eccentric parts of me and then multiplied it by 1,000. Like, she is
so she's
super
a lot.
Loud. Yeah, she's a lot. She has a lot of opinions. She has, like, dabbled in sex work here and there. So, like, she talks a lot about her, like, escapades doing those types of things.
She's, like, she was interning? I don't know if that's the right...
Yeah.
Is that what they call it?
She's tried different... Like, she had a very successful OnlyFans. I think that's shut down now. But long story short, the way these two come to be is because Ethan, at one point, doing his, like, own podcast, he really, like, mocks Trisha's appearance because she tends to be a little bit of a catfish, right? Like, she gets all of this glam makeup done, but then she'll do a video where she's, like, no makeup, about to go to bed, and they look like very different people.
Oh, okay.
And so he kind of, again, now he's apologized, but, like, was mocking the fact that, like, who is this woman? Like, why does she look like two separate people? Like, why is she out here portraying this? So they got into, like, an online beef. They get into a fight. It's a whole thing. And then at one point, Ethan convinces her to come onto his podcast, and okay. they talk, and they do some different things, and they do a couple segments, they work through their issues, whatever, you know, kiss and make up. And then he convinces her to do a segment that his podcast did, which was, like, The Bachelor, right? Like, he was doing, like, a bachelor for random influencers and people. He does it, and it completely backfires because she ends up marrying his brother-in-law. Like, in real life, like, she meets his brother-in-law through doing this.
So his wife's brother.
Yes.
Okay.
They fall in love, they are now married, and have a child together. But after that spark, you know, has happened, they decided to do their own podcast called Frenemies, and, like, the whole shtick of it was basically, like, these two can't stand each other, they will argue over literally everything. Trisha, like, asked him very early on, like, who invented gravity? Like, what's the point of even that? And Ethan has to, like, calmly explain to her that that's not what happened. It's...
What do you mean, invented gravity?
That was the question, like, but that's the whole thing. It's literally just her saying some wild, wild comments and him having to, like, talk her off the ledge and explain things to her. They would do random segments she wanted to do. Like, at one point, they dressed up like Beetlejuice characters and they enacted a part of a scene from Beetlejuice. It just really spiraled into this amazing creation. And there's several episodes where they get in an actual, like, a real legitimate fight and she storms out and they have a whole argument.
Like a physical fight?
No.
Oh, like they're arguing?
Yes, and they're arguing, like, and it gets out heated.
Kind of heated.
Yes, okay. And she storms out, and yeah.
And is it, like, this comes out weekly or something?
It came out, so it was once a week when it was happening. I think there's, like, 38 or 39 episodes before they ultimately, I just re-listened to them. This is a spoiler alert for you, because I do fully anticipate you to listen, or expect you to listen to all of them.
okay. How long are they?
They're, like, an hour to hour and a half each.
Yeah, it's good for my walks. That's
right.
Fine. Yeah.
But truly they end because, like, there's a fight on the podcast. She storms out and that's the last episode ever.
Because they haven't gotten over it.
No.
Must be funny Christmas time.
Ended. Yeah. It's yeah. Guess what their child's name is. Trisha and her husband's.
What their child's name is? Mm-hmm. Newton, since he invented gravity. I'm going to go with that. And he didn't invent gravity, he discovered it.
It is Malibu Barbie.
Wait, their son's name?
No, it's a girl. It's a girl.
Oh, okay.
But still.
Wait, her legal name.
Mm-hmm.
Is her middle name Skipper?
Malibu Barbie.
Is her first name?
Or Malibu. Her first name is Malibu.
And Barbie is the second name.
Mm-hmm.
What's the last name? Dreamhouse?
I don't know. That's the worst part. I don't even know his last name. She had two weddings with him. Trisha has enough content on the internet at this point. Like, I could never have to watch anything else again, and I would have new content every single day to watch through her.
Real quick.
Yeah.
How mean do you think that is, that kid? It's the kid's name.
She's gonna have a hard time, I think. A little, yeah. She's gonna have a hard time, probably, through elementary.
I mean, maybe not, since that Barbie movie just, like, blew up this summer.
I was gonna say, maybe she'll be
How
popular.
Old's that kid, you know? Like, ballpark?
Probably, like, a little over 1 year old now.
Oh, so still a baby.
Still a baby. Yeah, yeah. She's got plenty of time.
But they, named her this before the movie came
Correct.
Out.
Oh, yeah. This was, like, way in the works. I was listening to Trisha's new podcast that she does by herself, and she was...
What's it called? I'm Alone? Or Regrets I Have?
Frenemies was so good. At one point, so this really sticks out to me. It's in one of the later episodes. This is another segment they do. They would just do random trivia. Like, they would do, like, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grade Trivia?
Oh, okay.
And, again, part of the gag was Ethan is terrible at pop culture questions. So, like, he was always, like, just hilariously off on whatever those questions were. And then Trisha, pretty much every other subject, was really far off. And at one point they asked, what is the tallest mountain in the world?
Okay.
And Trisha goes, oh, I'm not going to spell it right, and I only know the one. So she starts writing, and she turns around. This reminds me, this won't mean anything to the listeners, I apologize. But this moment, literally all I could envision was David and I. Like I could parallel us so much to these two. Because she turns it around, and it says poorly spelled or whatever, Mount Kilimanjaro.
Okay.
And a producer in the back goes, you only know one mountain, and it's Mount Kilimanjaro. Like, he's so disgusted in the background. And that's, again, like, just so indicative of their whole dynamic the entire time is, like, it's a lot of laughing with each other, and then every once in a while, when the fights happen, it's like, oh no, it's crossed over, we're laughing at each other.
Well, nice. So it's called Frenemies.
Frenemies.
The podcast.
Yes.
This is... 95% sure our second podcast, so nice work for Yay! Coming up with this. So that's awesome. Well, great. Anything else before we wrap up the little dog and pony show today?
No, this awesome. Is great.
Awesome. Well, everyone, thanks again for joining us. If you have... Oh, real quick.
Oh.
If you listened to last episode 20, I had my recommendation for The Lives of Others. I did do a little bit of homework. It does not seem to be on any... streaming platform for free right now, but you can rent it for like $4 on like Amazon or Apple. And if you're looking for a well-done movie, I would say it's worth the $4. So anyhow, that's where you can find those. But otherwise, if you have a gin you would like to recommend, or if you'd like to submit a story for the Bar Bathroom Chronicles, feel free to hit us up at our Instagram account, which is at the Botanical Trails. Otherwise, we'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us. Feel free to subscribe to us on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts. Also, I want to take a quick minute to thank Darren Vandermullen for all of his help behind the scenes. Without him, this podcast probably wouldn't even exist, and his help is greatly appreciated. Hope you have a great week, and we will look forward to seeing you the next time we go down the botanical trails. This has been a Shits and Giggles production.